Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Bob. And thank you, Jesus. Where would we be if he was not risen? If he is not risen? I can see the slides, but you can't. And maybe that's perfect. This last week, Lana asked me, what's the title of the sermon? And I thought I'd be a smart aleck, and I said, why? And she didn't miss a beat. She said, thank you. She's sharp. By the way, this last week, we got to celebrate Administrative Professionals Day. It's the first year I recall calling it that. But anyway, if you get a chance to thank Lana or Elota or some of the volunteers that also come in and help when we need someone to fill in, please do. And don't wait for Administrative Professionals Day or week to do it, but we need to thank everyone who helps as often as we can, don't we? Let's be that kind of people. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are here with us this morning. We thank you that we have the privilege not only of worshiping you, but of hearing from you through your word and through your spirit. We just ask that you would open our hearts, that you could say to us what you want to say and do in us what you want to do. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Do you remember the why years? Maybe your own, maybe your children, maybe children of friends, nieces, nephews. The why years. You remember these years. These are the years when children keep asking why. You've never gotten irritated by that, have you? When you've answered a question, Daddy, why is the sky blue? And you give the best answer you can. Maybe that the light shines through and all but the shortest wavelengths, you know, are coming through, whatever you know or think you know. And then you've given your answer, and of course, what's the next question? What's the next comment? Why? Why are the clouds puffy? I actually had that this morning in the car. The why years are not done in our family, and I pray that they never are, by the way. One of the things I love about my grandfather is that he said that he was born wondering and he never stopped. But anyway, so I had that question, why are the clouds puffy? Fortunately, my answer was almost satisfactory enough, so we didn't get into why is the water in little droplets and why this and why that. Why is the moon in the sky? All these kinds of things. Why is the grass green? Why do we have grass at all? Why, Mama? Why, Daddy? Why? And as I said, some never stop asking why, and we have so much that we have in our technology and the things that we learn in school because some people never stop asking why. Why does this substance behave this particular way? Why does this disease seem to succeed, and how can we stop it? Why does radiation come from some substances, and what does it do? Why do the animals behave the way that they do? Why? Why is Mars red, and what is on it? Why? The questions keep getting asked, and people keep coming forward in the great search to answer all of these questions of why. But none of these whys are the greatest ones that cut to the center of our being, that actually well up from the center of our being asking why. Some of them we call the great questions. Why are we here? Why? Why are we here? And as followers of Jesus, as believers in the Word of God, we go and we find answers to these different questions of why in the Scriptures. Why are we here? Well, you can go right to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 that was quoted in the children's story this morning by Sharon. In the beginning, do you want to prove to the kids that you know this too? Let's see, is there a black slide thing? Okay, here we go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. See, kids, your parents know it too. Okay, see if we can, hey, a resurrection. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's why we're here. But are you satisfied with that? Why are we here? We're here because God created us. Well, why did God create all of this stuff? Why? Well, why did God create the earth? Isaiah 45, 18, you can go there. It says, "For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it." Why? "Who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited." He made this place so that he could have a place for you. If you want to think about it in really personal terms, he made this place so that he would have a place where he could meet you, where he could connect with you and come to know you. Why? But is that enough? Why are you here? Why are we here? Let's go to another level of understanding. Why are we here? 1 John 4:8 says this: "He who does not love does not know God, for what? God is love." There are a few things that I want you to get as we go through looking at this question of why and the answers that we are offered. One of the things that I want to be sure that you get is that you and me and everyone else that you can think of and do not know, we are here for love. You are here for love. And that's one of those statements that, you know, many times the English language means different things depending on how you enunciate something. Every way that you can enunciate this, every way that you can think of it, this is the truth. You are here for love. You know the scriptures that say, "All we like sheep have gone astray." And none of that caught God by surprise. Before he set this thing in motion, God knew all of the trouble that it would cause him. But he created us for love. He created us for the love in his own heart, in the love that describes his being. He created us for that love. God is all about connection. God is all about knowing and being known. God is all about having that love between him and other hearts that he has created. You were created for love. And by the same token, as we read in the scriptures, you were created to love as well. You remember also in 1 John it says, "We love him because he first loved us." And you know the great commandment, to love him with everything you've got and love your neighbor as yourself. You were created for love. We were all created for love. That sounds wonderful. That sounds perfect. But when you look around at the life that you live, when you look around at the lives going on around you, do you see things in perfection? Do you see things as you think they should be in some ideal state? No, they aren't. And so the question that follows after we realize that we are here because God created, that we are here because he wanted inhabitants for this place, that we are here because he loves us, then the obvious question is, why are things such a mess? Why are things such a mess in this world around us? Romans 5, verse 12 says this: "Through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For all creation was subjected to futility," Romans 8, 20, "not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope." That's a strange phrase, isn't it? And so the scriptures tell us, and in so many other ways, in so many other places, tell us that the reason this world is in such a mess is because sin came with the invitation of our forebears and with our own invitation. Sin has messed things up. Sin has brought alienation between us and the very source of our life, the very one who has invested himself with love in us. Sin has disrupted. Sin has brought death. Sin has brought decay. Sin has brought problems and issues that were never designed to be the way it is. Going down to verse 22 of Romans 8, it says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now." It hasn't just affected human beings. It's affected all of creation. All of creation that God said to Adam, to Eve, that to have dominion over it, take care of it, like Sharon was talking about. It's your responsibility. And what have we done? We have brought decay and death. That's the mess that we are in. And so, having created this mess, knowing the thoughts that go through our own minds sometimes when those that we love create messes, you might ask another question. Okay, God, so you created the earth. You created it so that we could be here, so that we could meet you here. You created us because you loved us. We've made a mess of the creation that you have made. We've made a mess of the connection even that you designed and desired when you made us. Why are we still here? Why didn't you just do away with us? Why are we still here? And this is where it starts to get better again. I don't need to give you the reference for this one. We talked about it last week. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that beautiful? We are still here because despite all that we have done, despite how we have gone astray, despite how we have not only hurt ourselves, but hurt others, and hurt God's creation, and hurt God himself, he still loves us. He still wants us. He still is committed to do everything and anything that it takes to restore that connection. And check this out. I love the next verse, and I can hardly fail to read it when I read John 3:16. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is his dearest, deepest desire. And so you might put it together in your mind very well, as celebrated in Declan's baptism that we celebrated today. He created us for love. Despite the mess, he's come to rescue us and to save us. He's come to help us because he loves us still. And so we are able to be here. But why are we still here? Why are we still here? Why? I mean, did you notice the beautiful place? By the way, I appreciate the filmmakers of Declan's baptism because they took pains to show us what a beautiful place he was in, right? Did you notice that? Showed how beautiful. Why didn't, as soon as Declan made his commitment to Jesus to receive what Jesus has offered and was sealed just according to the instructions of Jesus in baptism, why didn't he just rocket right up to heaven? You know? Why didn't he just rocket right up to heaven to enjoy the eternal joys of the blessed? Well, why are we still here? I love the glimpses that we get into the heart of God that tell us how desperately he loves us, how desperately he longs not just for you and me and others that we may know who have believed and trusted him already, but for every single person. His heart is bleeding for every single person. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. As much as all heaven has rejoiced over you and your entrance into the family of God, I say this to Declan and to every last one of you who are trusting in the Lord Jesus today, as much as all heaven has rejoiced, as much as the heart of God is leaping to have you in his family, he's not satisfied. He wants everyone he can get restored to that love relationship, that love connection with him, knowing that they are fully accepted in his family, knowing that he is able, by that resurrection power that we talked about last Sabbath, to make changes and transformations to turn us into people like him, driven by the same love that pulses in his heart. Why are we still here? Because he wants to grow us in love, and he wants to reach out through us in love to bring more into the family. That's why we are still here. You know, as a Seventh-day Adventist community of faith here in Lodi, there's a special ring to that question, why are we still here? We think back to the pioneers of our movement, who more than 170 years ago, this year, began their faith journey of earnestly expecting the coming of the Lord Jesus, who went through a disappointment of their expectations and continued studying the Word of God to find out what happened, to find out what it all meant, and to find out what God wanted to do with them. And so they renewed their commitment to ever be waiting for Jesus to come. Why are we still here after all of these years? Why are we still here? Well, you know what they found? They found that God had a very specific purpose for the movement that he worked through them to get going. That it was part of his purpose to love the world and to open the doors and get everybody possible who would listen, who is willing, to be ready to meet Jesus when he comes in the clouds. Are you happy about that? That is his desire. And so he raised up this community of faith to give his message for these times that we are living in before Jesus comes. If you read in the scriptures from Matthew 24, where Robert referred to this morning, on down through Revelation, through Daniel, and read the prophecies of the things that are going to happen in this world before Jesus comes. Is it going to be easy? I guess not even the question was easy. Is it going to be easy, smooth sailing from here until Jesus comes? Is it going to be perfectly easy for people to see the way to go? Is there going to be deception in this world? Are there going to be mass movements and great workings by the powers that be that will lead people astray and possibly ensnare them from even looking to Jesus and trusting in him through these times? You better believe it. And so, I believe with all my heart that God raised up this people because he is not willing that any should perish. Read in there, he is not willing that any should be led astray so that they can't see the way to him. He is not willing that any should be deceived so they miss who he is and what he wants to do in their lives. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he has called you and me and this body of believers, raised us up to give what some call his last warning message. You could call it his last inviting message, his last opening message, his last message of love to this world so that as many as possible could be ready for him. Perhaps you've heard of the three angels' messages of Revelation 14, verses 6 through 12. And you can see as you read through them that it leads up to a great scene of the harvest of the earth, of Jesus himself coming, just like it's described in 2 Thessalonians, just like it's described in Matthew 24, just like it's described in 1 Corinthians 15, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, to gather everyone who is willing to be with him forever. I believe it's very important for you and I to understand not just the whys of the physical world around us, not just the whys of our own place with God, but the why of why he has called us. Why he has called us as a community of faith, as a body of believers, and as individual followers of Jesus at this time in Earth's history. If you don't know why, you can't be about your Father's business the way he designed, can you? And so, in a few weeks, I believe we'll be able to start May 17. We're going to start on a journey of looking at this message that is the charter of the community of faith that we are a part of. And you will find, as we go through this, that it is much simpler than you ever thought it was. Sometimes we say these code words, how long have you been in the three angels' messages? What? We study with people and we give the impression that everything is so complicated, but my friends, it is not. Do you think God has created a way of salvation that is only for intellectuals? Do you think that God has created a way of salvation that is easily missed if you are not a Greek scholar or a Hebrew scholar or some kind of anthropologist? Not on your life. God has made a way, and his call to this world and his purpose for you is very simple. And he explains it. And we are going to look and see the message that God wants to share with the world at this time and why. We are going to see the calling that he has on you. And I pray that day by day, as we understand more and more of his calling, that our yes will grow stronger and stronger. Why? Why does he do all this? I believe that ever since forever, he's had a picture in his mind. He knew how he was going to create this world. He knew what a mess it would be. Psalm 139 said that his thoughts about you are like the sands of the sea. Nothing in your life has caught him by surprise. The high points, the low points, the pinnacles, the valleys. He knows you. And ever since forever, I believe with all my heart, he has held in his heart, his infinite heart, that's able to hold an infinite number of scenes in his full attention. He has seen this scene with you right there. He's looking forward to that time that Jesus spoke of in John chapter 14 when he said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Does he say unto this great place? No, he says unto myself, unto himself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the biggest why, the biggest answer to all of these questions. He wants you with him more than you could imagine. And anyone that you can think of, anyone you've ever seen, whether you were naturally drawn to look up to them or whether you were tempted to look at them with disgust and disdain, every last person, he has this same picture in his heart, dreaming and longing to have each and every one of us and all of us together that are willing to enjoy forever with him. Do you want that too? Let's embrace his answers, but most of all, let us embrace him and his heart that longs for us. Let it be true in us that we love him because he first loved us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are with us today. We thank you for the assurance that we have that your heart is for us, that your heart longs for us, desires for us, wants to be with us and us to be with you. Oh, Father, we pray that you would open our hearts to accept the calling that you have on us. Open especially, Father, I pray, anyone who is not sure that there is a place for them in your family, that today that they can know that the God who spared not his own son but sent him to take our place on the cross wants you. And he's done everything needed so that you can be in his family if you will only trust him. I ask every Sabbath for an elder to be down at the front here on either side. And if you would like to be sure that you are accepted in the family of God and have assurance that that everlasting life that offered is yours, forgiveness of sin is yours, that it's all yours through Jesus, you come after the service and they will pray with you and talk with you and share with you so that you know that you are his and that he loves you and accepts you. Father, I pray for each and every one of us. As we think about the call that you've placed on us, the big why that we are still here, oh, Father, I pray that our hearts will be moved with the same love, not only for you, but for all the souls around us, that we too, like you, will be driven to help each one come into your family and enjoy forever with you. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.